Our scripture reading this morning will be from Book of Matthew, chapter 9, verses 37 and 38. Then he said to his disciples, "The harvest truly is plentiful, but the laborers are few. Therefore, pray the Lord of the harvest to send out laborers into his harvest."
I'd like to say good morning to everyone. It's good to be here. Glad to have an opportunity to be with you this morning and share a portion of the Word of God. And this morning, I'd like for us to turn to Matthew chapter number 9, and we'll read verses 37 through 38, get the whole picture of the scripture reading and where I will be taking the subject of my sermon from this morning. In Matthew chapter number 9, beginning at verse number 35, the Word of God says, "And Jesus went about all the cities and villages, teaching in their synagogues and preaching the gospel of the kingdom and healing every sickness and every disease among the people. But when he saw the multitudes, he was moved with compassion on them, because they fainted and were scattered abroad as sheep having no shepherd. Then saith he unto his disciples, The harvest truly is plenteous, few. Pray ye therefore the Lord of the harvest, that he will send forth laborers into his harvest." And this morning, we want to share a lesson entitled, "Are You Motivated to Work as a Servant of God?" Are you motivated to work as a servant of God? Because there is still a lot of work in the kingdom of God to do. And we need as many servants of God working in his kingdom in the world to meet the goals that God has set for us. And that is to go out into the world and to preach the gospel to every creature. There's a lot of people on this earth, several billion people, and a number of them have never even heard the name of Jesus Christ. So we have our work set for us. But of course, to do any type of work, we have to be motivated to do it, because if we're not interested in something, if we think something is just totally boring, it's not likely that we are going to be motivated to do that. So what does that word motivate mean? The word motive denotes that which influences, prompts, propels, pushes or induces a specific action. It causes you to move in a direction so you can receive a specific outcome. I like to describe it as the fire that gets under you, that causes you to move or to get into God's service. I can recall when I was growing up that in my family, we believed in discipline, and my parents exercised spankings, and I, for one, could not stand getting spankings. But my sister Lisa, she didn't care what, she didn't care whether she got one or not. And I can recall an occasion where my sister had gotten in trouble, and my dad was in the process of giving her a spanking, and he was trying to tell her to make sure that she listened to my, and he was telling her that you say yes, ma'am, to her. And I was listening in the other room, and for some reason, not too long after that, I also got in trouble too. And when my dad was about to apply the rod of correction to me, the first thing that came out of my mouth was, "Yes, ma'am, daddy." And they couldn't even discipline me because they were cracking up. They were laughing so hard. So that worked out for me just great. But the point is, I was motivated because I didn't want to get a spanking. And we too have to be motivated in the service of God. What will motivate you into the service of God? Because there's plenty of work to do. As we just read in our scripture reading, Jesus says, "The harvest truly is plenteous, but the laborers are few. Pray ye therefore the Lord of the harvest that he will send forth laborers into his harvest." Now, what is a servant? Because we are servants of God. And servants in our society and culture are not very popular because we want to be the boss. We want to be able to decide what we are going to do. And we find that a servant or a steward is a person that takes care of the things that belongs to another person. And that's the responsibility of a servant. And we have to recognize, too, that God owns everything. God owns every single thing that's on this earth, including you and I. But oftentimes our human thinking and reasoning does not put that into play. For example, most of us have cars that are in the parking lot. Most of us have titles to that car, and that car belongs, the title says, to me or you. And we think of that car as mine because we drive it all the time. Same thing with our houses. We pay a mortgage. We pay a lease. We live in that space, and that belongs to us, and that's how we think of things. But sometimes we have to realize that, yes, we are allowed to use those things, but these things ultimately belong to God. In the book of Psalms, chapter number 24, in Psalms chapter number 24, in verse number 1, in Psalms chapter number 24, in verse 1, we learn that everything belongs to the Lord. In verse 1, the Bible says, "The earth is the Lord's, and the fullness thereof, the world and they that dwell therein." So as servants of God, we have to recognize that everything belongs to God, and we are to take care of those things that belong to the Almighty God. And of course, this responsibility makes the servant accountable. It makes the servant accountable to the master of the goods. And of course, that servant will either receive a punishment or a reward, depending on how well he did his job as a servant of the Almighty God. And oftentimes, we do not like being accountable. As we just said before, that many of us like to do what we want to do, and we don't want to answer to anybody else. But as a servant of God, we are accountable to God. In Romans chapter number 14 and verse number 12, we learn this truth. In Romans chapter number 14 and verse number 12, Romans chapter 14 and verse 12, the Bible says, So then every one of us shall give account to himself to God. All of us. Doesn't matter who we are going to give account to God. And this is the reason that we need to be motivated into God's service, because we are going to be accountable. We are going to have to answer to God to how we served him, to be motivated to, as we talked about before, there has to be some type of excitement about it. And the work of the Lord should be exciting to us. It should be exciting to us. For example, if I told Charlene that we were going shopping, she would get extremely excited. Why? Because she loves shopping. And most of you know that because you have received small gifts from her before. But sometimes shopping is not exciting to other people. So we have to find a way to get excited for the Lord's work. For example, again, if the leaders of the church say it's time to do door knocking, everybody gets excited, right? Wrong. Because people don't like to go door knocking. They don't like going to knock on doors. They don't like talking to people. They don't like the possibility of having the door slammed in their face. They don't like the possibility of being cursed out. But door knocking is one of the methods that one can use to reach to a lost soul. And there has been souls at this congregation that has been benefited by going out into the community and knocking on doors. So we have to realize that we need to be motivated, and the source of our motivation should be the Word of God. The thing that motivates us is the Word of God. In Hebrews chapter number 4 and verse number 12, in Hebrews chapter number 4 and verse number 12, we get a description of the Word of God and how powerful it is. In Hebrews chapter 4 and verse 12, the Bible says, "For the Word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit and of the joints and marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart." The Word of God is very powerful. It causes many of us to move in a certain, and one of the best examples in the scriptures that we see of that motivation from the Word of God is the conversion of Saul of Tarsus in Acts chapter number 9. In Acts chapter number 9 and verses 9 and verses 1 through 6. Because we find that Saul of Tarsus was a persecutor of the church. He had permission to take Christians and bring them to Jerusalem. And we find that as he was going to Damascus, starting at verse 1, "And Saul, yet breathing out threatenings and slaughter against the disciples of the Lord, went unto the high priest and desired of him letters to Damascus, to the synagogues, that if he found any of that way, whether they were men or women, he might bring them bound unto Jerusalem. And as he journeyed, he came near Damascus, and suddenly there shined around about him a light from heaven. And he fell to the earth and heard a voice saying unto him, Saul, Saul, why persecutest thou me? And he said, Who art thou, Lord? And the Lord said, I am Jesus, whom thou persecutest. It is hard for thee to kick against the pricks, or goads in some translations. And he, trembling and astonished, said, Lord, what wilt thou have me to do? And the Lord said unto him, Arise, go unto a city, and it shall be told thee what thou must do. Now, in this situation, the word of God, Jesus Christ, stopped Saul in his tracks. The word of God was that powerful. And Jesus told him that it would be told him what he needed to do. And if we go to chapter number 22 of the book of Acts, we find out what he was told to do. In Acts chapter number 22, we'll start at verse number 6. And it came to pass that as I made my journey and was come nigh to Damascus, there shone from heaven a great light round about me. And I fell unto the ground, and I heard a voice saying unto me, Saul, Saul, why persecutest thou me? And I answered, Who art thou, Lord? And he said unto me, I am Jesus of Nazareth, whom thou persecutest. And they that were with me saw indeed the light and were afraid, but they heard not the voice of him that spake to me. And I said, What shall I do, Lord? And the Lord said unto me, Arise and go into Damascus, and there it shall be told thee of all things which are appointed for thee to do. And when I could not see for the glory of the light, being led by the hand of them that were with me, I came to Damascus. And one Ananias, a devout man according to the law, having a good report of all the Jews which dwelt there, came unto me and stood and said to me, Brother Saul, receive thy sight. And the same hour I looked upon him and said, The God of our fathers hath chosen thee that thou shouldest know his will and see the just one and should hear his voice of his mouth. And thou shalt be his witness unto all men of what thou hast seen and heard. And now why tarriest thou? Arise and be baptized and wash away thy sins, calling on the name of the Lord. And from that point, we see that Saul began to preach the gospel of Jesus Christ. Now, that was a real turnaround that the word of God had the power to do in his life. And that same power of God's precious word has the power to motivate us also into his servants. Are you motivated to work as servants of God? Are you encouraged to be those workers in the vineyard of the Lord that we just sung about? And of course, there will be some that will need encouragement to motivate them to serve God. The word encourage means to inspire with confidence, to urge forward one to start or continue in an action. And all of us, from time to time, we will need encouragement. We will need encouragement to do that which is. We'll need encouragement to be able to meet certain goals that we want to meet in life. And as Christians, we will most definitely need encouragement to continue the good fight of faith, because we do get discouraged. We do become tempted from time to time. And sometimes we see certain brothers and sisters fall away from the faith. So we recognize that there is a need for encouragement. But the question is, what will motivate you to work as a servant of God? Because the type of encouragement that will encourage me and propel me into God's service may not be the same thing for you. You might need something totally different to motivate you into God's service. So hopefully and prayerfully, the Lord will bless you with that encouragement that you might be able to serve him in his servants. And as we said, people need different types and sources of encouragement. For example, if we turn to 2 Kings chapter number 5. In 2 Kings chapter number 5, we have an example of a man that had leprosy that needed encouragement. In 2 Kings chapter number 5, we find that there was a soldier by the name of Naaman that had leprosy. And in verse number 2, the Bible says, "And the Syrians had gone out by companies and had brought away captive out of the land of Israel a little maid, and she waited on Naaman's wife. And she said unto her mistress, Would God my Lord were with the prophet that is in Samaria, for he would recover him of his leprosy. And one went in and told his Lord, saying, Thus and thus saith the maid that is of the land of Israel. And the king of Syria said, Go to, and I will send a letter unto the king of Israel. And he departed and took with him 10 talents of silver and 6,000 pieces of gold and 10 changes of raiment. And he brought the letter to the king of Israel, saying, How, when this letter is come unto thee, behold, I have therewith sent Naaman, my servant, to thee, that thou mayest recover him of his leprosy. And we find out that the king was very distressed because he did not have the power to do that. And, of course, the prophet Elisha heard about it. And Elisha told him the king to send him to me. And he told him to go wash in the Jordan 7 times. But all of this would not have happened. Servant would not have said something to Naaman's wife. And that was encouragement, because they heard of a way to be healed. And we find that Naaman took courage and went to Elisha. However, we also see that this was one point of encouragement. And we'll find that for Naaman to be healed, he would have to receive some more encouragement, because he responded adversely to what Elisha had told him to do to be healed. We find in verse number 10, "And Elisha sent a messenger unto him, saying, Go and wash in Jordan 7 times, and thy flesh shall come again to thee, and thou shalt be clean." Okay, that's pretty clear cut. But what did Naaman do? "But Naaman was wroth and went away and said, Behold, I thought he might surely come out to me and stand and call on the name of the Lord his God and strike his hand over the place and recover the leper. Are not Abana and Pharpar rivers of Damascus better than all the waters of Israel? May I not wash in them and be clean? So he turned and went away in a rage." Went away in a rage. The man of God told him what he needed to do, but he didn't want to do it the way Elisha told him. And at this point, he was in the state of not being healed of his leprosy. But again, one of his servants talks to him in verse number 13. And his servants came near and spake unto him and said, "My father, if the prophet had bid thee do some great thing, wouldest thou not have done it? How much rather then when he saith to thee, wash and be clean?" And then went he down and dipped himself seven times in the Jordan according to the saying of the man of God, and his flesh came again like unto the flesh of the little, as unto the flesh of a little child, and he was clean. Encouragement is very important. Encouragement can cause one to continue on. Encouragement can cause one to be saved. And in this case, we find that encouragement on two occasions caused Naaman to be healed of his leprosy. And we need to recognize that any time the word of God is preached, it is for the express purpose of encouraging you to continue on. Was not Elijah, the prophet, encouraged by God to continue on when he thought he was by himself, been alone? Yes, he was. He was encouraged to continue on. And there is a story that was told about two frogs that show the importance of encouragement. And the story goes like this. There was a group of frogs that were traveling through the woods, and two of them fell into a pit. When the other frog saw how deep the pit was, they told the two frogs that they were as good as dead. The two frogs ignored the comments and tried to jump out of the pit with all their might. The other frogs kept telling them to stop, that they were as good as dead. And finally, one of the frogs took heed to what the other frogs were saying and gave up. He fell down and he died. The other frog continued to jump as hard as he could. Once again, the crowd of frogs yelled at him to stop the pain and just die. He jumped even harder and finally made it out. When he got out, the other frog said, "Didn't you hear us?" The frog explained to them that he was deaf. He thought they were encouraging him the entire time. So we see how important encouragement is. And we need to be encouragers, that those of us that are having troubles might continue on. Servants of God must also be remain faithful. We have to be motivated to remain faithful. A key component in being motivated is to remain faithful. And we have to learn not to allow our zeal for God to grow cold. Because it is very easy for our zeal, our excitement for God to grow cold. And we have to watch for that in our lives as Christians, because sometimes we can become complacent. We can become lazy. We can become stubborn and selfish and not wanting to do what God wants us to do and just be set in our own ways and do what we want to do. So we have to watch that, because Satan, our adversary, is about us like a roaring lion seeking whom he can devour, as the Bible teaches us in 1 Peter chapter 5 and verse number 8. So we have to be careful and watch that. And that's why it is important to focus on doing the Lord's work. It is important to focus to do the Lord's work. We can remember what happened to Peter when he was walking on water and lost his focus off of Jesus. What happened to him? He began to sink. We find in Matthew chapter number 14. In Matthew chapter number 14, in this example of us learning how to stay focused. In Matthew chapter number 14 and verse number 27, the Bible says, "But straightway Jesus spake unto them, saying, Be of good cheer, it is I, be not afraid. And Peter answered him and said, Lord, if it be thou, bid me come unto thee on the water. And he said, Come. And when Peter was come down out of the ship, he walked on the water to go to Jesus. But when he saw the wind boisterous, he was afraid, and beginning to sink, he cried, saying, Lord, save me. And immediately Jesus stretched forth his hand and caught him and said unto him, O thou of little faith, wherefore didst thou doubt?" That's why we can't lose our faithfulness to God. Because if we do, we'll do the same thing that Peter did. We will begin to sink. And that's not something that we want to do. Also, in 1 Corinthians chapter 4 and verse 2, the Word of God gives those of us that are servants of him a requirement. And in 1 Corinthians chapter 4 and verse 2, we learn that it is required in stewards or servants of God that a man be found faithful. We have to be found faithful, because the only ones that will enjoy the blessings of heaven are those of us that will remain faithful to him. What type of servant will the Lord make ruler over his household? What type of servant? We learned that in Matthew chapter number 24 and verse number 45. What type of servant will the Lord make ruler over his household? In Matthew chapter number 24 and verse 45, Jesus says, "Who then is a faithful and wise servant whom his Lord hath made ruler over his household to give them meat in due season? Blessed is that servant whom his Lord, when he cometh, shall find so doing. Verily I say unto you that he shall make him ruler over all his goods." So we find that the wise and faithful servant will be the one that his master will allow him to be the ruler of all of his goods. And that's the same way that you and I have to be. We have to be faithful in the work that God has assigned us to do. But Jesus also gives us a warning to those evil servants. In verse number 48, Jesus says, "But and if that evil servant shall say in his heart, My Lord delayeth his coming, and shall begin to smite his fellow servants, and to eat and drink with the drunken, the Lord of that servant shall come in a day when he looketh not for him, and in an hour that he is not aware, and shall cut him asunder, and appoint him his portion with the hypocrites. There shall be weeping of teeth." So we find that we need to be encouraged to be faithful to God. Therefore, let us not be lazy. Let us not be slothful in doing the Lord's work, because there is plenty work for us to do. vacation Bible schools, gospel meetings, so many people that we can employ ourselves in helping. So we need to be encouraged because the Bible teaches us that the harvest is white already. In John chapter number 4, we find this to be true. In the book of John, chapter number 4, in John chapter number 4, in verse number 35, Jesus says, "Say not ye, there are yet 4 months, and then cometh the harvest." What is Jesus saying? Don't be lazy. Don't be a couch potato, because there's already work to do. "Say not ye, there are yet 4 months, and then cometh the harvest. Behold, I say unto you, lift up your eyes and look on the fields, for they are white already for harvest." Verse 36, "And he that reapeth receiveth wages, and gathereth fruit unto life eternal, that both he that soweth and he that reapeth may rejoice together." And that is the wish that I have for all of us, that we may work together in the vineyard of the Lord, that we may be able to rejoice together in that wonderful day when Jesus Christ comes back again and judges the whole world, that we might be with him forevermore. And this morning, if you are not a servant of God, we want to encourage you. We want to motivate you to become God's servants, because the Bible teaches us that God loved us and he sent his son, Jesus Christ, to die for us that we might have life. And if you are not a Christian this morning, God wants you to hear his word. He wants you to believe in his son as the son of God, as deity. He wants you to repent of your past sins. He wants you to confess his holy name as the son of God and immersed, buried for the remission of your sins. And if you are a Christian this morning and you have not been working in the vineyard of the Lord, as you know, God wants you to, we want to encourage you to come and confess your faults and be encouraged to labor in God's house, that we may all rejoice together and might have eternal life with him. Why not respond to the gospel of Christ as we all stand and sing?